In December 1996, the author of a book called Fragments appeared on this program. He was Benjamin Wilkomirski, a Jew born in Riga, Latvia, around the start of World War II. He was a child survivor of the Shoah, the Nazi Holocaust. As a young boy, Wilkomirski had lost all his family and nearly all memory of where he came from before the onslaught.
I have no mother tongue, nor a father tongue either. My language has its roots in the Yiddish of my eldest brother, Mordechai, overlaid with the bubble of an assortment of children's barracks in the Nazi death camps in Poland. It was a small vocabulary. It reduced itself to the bare essentials required to say and to understand whatever would ensure survival.
The concentration camps through the shattered prism of a child's memory. Only as an adult in Switzerland had he pieced together his true identity from fragments, incidents that he barely recalled. It was powerful stuff. The book was a prize winner. It was also a fake. He was never in a concentration camp. Within a couple of years, the man who claimed the identity of Benjamin Wilkomirski was unmasked. His childhood in Switzerland was fully accounted for. The story is retold by Blake Eskin in his new book, A Life in Pieces. It's a story that touched Eskin's own family.
My mother's mother's mother was named Anna Wilkomirski. She was born in Riga in Latvia, and she came to the United States at the beginning of the 20th century with her brothers and sisters. And my mother wrote to Benjamin Wilkomirski to find out if he might be related, since after all, he had the same last name and came from the same city. And then Benjamin Wilkomirski, or I should say the author of Fragments, wrote back to say that he had found a piece of paper in Riga referring to an Avram Wilkomirski, who was my great-grandmother Anna's brother. And he said that had corroborated his memories and helped him put his identity together.
This led to a meeting between the person we'll refer to as Benjamin Wilkomirski, or the author of Fragments, and your extended family in New York, a meeting and a story that you did an episode of This American Life, the public radio program This American Life, about.
That's right. Benjamin was brought to New York by the Holocaust Museum as part of a national tour to raise funds, actually, for the Holocaust Museum. And during that tour, he came to my parents' apartment, and my relatives gathered to meet Benjamin Wilkomirski, to meet the author of Fragments, and to see what the connection was between him and us.
Oh, here is the picture what I wanted to show you.
Who's this?
That's Lewin, this is.
It's always this face that strikes me.
Yeah.
Because it's a little bit like my first son.
Were you skeptical about this man at the time when you met him in New York?
Well, I did not doubt that he was a Holocaust survivor because I didn't know enough to ask that question. I was skeptical, however, that he could know that his name was Benjamin Wilkomirski. And part of that came from hearing him tell his story a few times in his book. Just as he says he wasn't sure what language he started speaking, he isn't quite sure of what his name is. So if he wasn't quite sure of what his name is, I didn't see how we could be quite sure that he was one of our relatives.
By 1998, the story of the author of Fragments was under attack and pretty tattered. Who was he?
The story is that he was really born Bruno Grosjean. His parents were not married. His mother was in an accident while pregnant. His father abandoned his mother. She did not earn enough money to bring him up, and so he was fostered out to a series of families in Switzerland during the war. Neither his mother nor his father were Jewish, and after a particularly unpleasant foster experience, he was put in an orphanage and then taken in by a non-Jewish doctor's family and his wife in Zurich, and raised by them and later adopted.
And there were other people who had grown up with him who knew where he had been in his childhood, that he couldn't have been in concentration camps during the 1940s.
That's right. There were school records. There were people who knew him in high school and in earlier years. It wasn't just a documentary trail that showed he was not Benjamin Wilkomirski of Riga, but actual acquaintances and teachers and so forth who were still around to be able to tell that other story.
I want to play for you one exchange with Benjamin Wilkomirski when I asked him about one of the characters in his memoir, Yonkel. Who was Yonkel? Describe Yonkel to us.
the uncle, he was the only friend I had. You know, it's a little bit difficult to speak.
These weren't just fictional details of his childhood. These were fictional, powerful emotions in recalling his childhood.
That's right. And part of what was persuasive about his story was that it was so deeply felt, was that when he came into a room, you felt how fragile he was, and you wanted to help him put those fragments together. And one of the things about the book I thought that was so moving, and I was also moved when I read it, is, you know, as I look back over it, I realize how little of his story he actually tells. And that means that you as the reader have to fill in the rest for him, and you help him put his fragments back together. But by doing that, you have a stake in the story too, and so you've helped it to become true.
What do you think he was up to, after all? What do you think motivated him?
Well, I think that a lot of other people connected with this character, Benjamin Wilkomirski, myself included, my family members. And while he sort of lost this distinction between reality and this character, I think that he was looking for a personal connection to history and also was looking for a way for people to understand just how bad his childhood was.
Which leads to the next question, which is not what he was doing, but what we were doing collectively, you, your family, me. I was perfectly willing to set aside all the skepticism that might have been there to believe in this man and to believe that this was his story. What were we doing?
Well, I think one of the reasons the book was so effective is it spoke to a lot of different people in a lot of different ways, and people identify with the experience of the Holocaust who might not have a direct connection with it, or even maybe not an indirect connection, but it is an event that helps people think about loss and dislocation and horrible events in their lives. I've read articles about people who have cancer who get solace from reading about the Holocaust, and I talked to one psychiatrist when I was working on the book who talked about how many survivors of abuse often choose the Holocaust or the concentration camp as a metaphor for their experiences. And so I think a lot of it is that the Holocaust operates as this metaphor, for better or worse, for a lot of people, for the great drama of life and the extent to which humans can rise or fall to depths of behavior.
Blake Eskin is the author of A Life in Pieces, The Making and Unmaking of Benjamin Wilkomirski. The man who wrote Fragments lives in Switzerland and still claims that he was a child inmate of the concentration camps.